We're going to be in the book of Acts, starting the book of Acts today, Acts 2:42. And we're going to talk about the benefits of genuine Christian fellowship. Fellowship versus just socializing, they're not the same thing. And today I hope to learn a little bit of something about that. So I'm going to go ahead and read the verse, and then we'll pray. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for today, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today, Lord. I pray that you be with me, Lord. I pray that you'd use me. Speak only what needs to be said, Lord. Pray that everyone can walk away helped because of this message, Lord. I love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, like I said, we're gonna talk about three benefits of genuine Christian fellowship. One of the biggest blessings that the Lord provides through the local church is Christian fellowship. Society provides other opportunities for socialization, whether it's through work, school, sports, parties, whatever it may be. But fellowship with God's people has a depth and has a richness that's so much more to it than just social interaction. Fellowship gives us an opportunity to speak about the Lord, to speak about blessings that we've had. It provides encouragement. It provides growth. It provides a level of friendship that's just not available in any other way. I know that we spend time with friends and family, and we have a good time, but there's something different when we're with a group of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and getting to spend that time together. And that's the type of fellowship that was that the early church knew. And in Acts 2:42, we see the importance of Christian fellowship as well as its defining characteristics. So I told you there's going to be three benefits. Benefit number one is that faith is stabilized. The unsaved world seems to often have it out for us. They don't make it easy for us. They tell us we're in a cult. They tell us we're wasting our time. They tell us we're anything they can to try to tear us down. They're always scorners. They're always doubters. Every group's got one, whether we've been out soul winning or whether it's just in a family meeting or a family Thanksgiving or whatever it may be. There's always that one person. You know, you can start, maybe you're in a group of people and you're witnessing to them, and four of the guys over here are really interested in it, and there's that one guy that's always going to try to do everything that they can to distract or to scorn or to do whatever it takes to make sure that the others don't listen. They do what they can to attempt to shake or tear down our faith. Sometimes it's an obvious direct attack on the foundation of our faith. And sometimes it's a more subtle discouragement as we're doing our best to live as a separated Christian. However it's directed, it's meant to undermine our stability as Christians. Christian fellowship, however, works to stabilize our faith. We can lean on each other. We can help each other. We can share with each other. Christian fellowship doesn't tear down our faith, but it encourages us in the ways of the Lord. And that's how fellowship worked even in the early church. I mean, it's always gone back to the beginning where fellowship has been such an important part. The first part of Acts 2:42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. There are two specific reasons that faith is stabilized through fellowship. The first is that faith is stabilized because of continuance. Salvation is only the beginning of our walk with the Lord, but true faith is ongoing. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When you trust Christ as your Savior, he begins to work in your life, and he wants to do so until you see him face to face. The continuance from day one of salvation until we get to go to heaven and see him. So those that were truly saved in the early church continued forward in their newfound faith, and fellowship with other believers was one of the ways that God worked to strengthen their faith. As we fellowship with others, the same will happen for you and I. When I first got saved back in 2002, going to church was really uncomfortable for me. I'd never been in a church before. I think I one time had to go to a Catholic church because I spent the night at a friend's house, and it was like, if you're spending the night, you're going to church. Fine, I didn't pay any attention to it. I was there. We sat up, sat down, sat up, sat down, sat up, sat. You know, I was like, man, this is this exercise class or church? I, you know, And I didn't know anything about church. I didn't know how to be around all these perfect people. You know, I just knew that everyone in church was perfect. I just, that's how it had to be, right? And I thought, how do I enter a building around all these other perfect people? I mean, that's just how it works, right? And as I began to meet and fellowship with people, I began to understand that they were just like me. The fellowship showed me that they were just sinners saved by grace, just like me, that they were no different. There's no doubt in my mind that it was through fellowship with other Christians, not only did I learn that the church was full of people just like me, but it also allowed me to grow in ways that I didn't realize was possible to grow. Grow closer to the Lord, grow closer to good Christians. And I think if it hadn't been for fellowship in the right ways, I think I probably would have just slipped through the cracks. You know, I went because I knew I was supposed to. You know, I got saved on a Thursday night. We were there Sunday morning. My work schedule wasn't church friendly. You know, I was working in a restaurant. I worked when they told me. I went home when they told me. I Julie had a schedule that she was a little bit more flexible. She was able to get to a lot more services. I went when I could, and I don't know that I felt like I was really trying hard to be able to get there, but once I was able to have some of that fellowship, I realized, okay, this is real. These people are real. This is where I need to be. The Lord actually wants me to be here. Second part of that, faith is stabilized because of continuance in the truth. Look back at Acts 2:42. It says, in the apostles' doctrine, the centerpiece of their fellowship was the teaching of the apostles. We have to be careful to remember there's a difference between Christian fellowship and just socializing. The truth of Jesus is what holds us together. Yet it's so easy to allow the main focus of our conversations to be about other things like sports, work, hobbies. It's okay to have conversations. It's okay to socialize. There's nothing sinful or wrong about talking about work and sports. We all love to talk about that. I mean, give us a cup of coffee. We're just going to say, hey, would you work? You know, that kind of a thing. That's just our nature. But the importance of balancing that, or really making sure that the fellowship aspect of it is greater than just the socialization aspect of it. Maybe we let our conversations become about things of the world. Maybe we have some of these interests. Maybe we have some of these interests in common and enjoying talking about them. But remember that real fellowship is based on the common faith that we have in Jesus Christ. The church at Berea is a good example of the importance of making spiritual truth the centerpiece of our fellowship. Acts 17:11 says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonians, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. This church had faith that was stabilized because of the growth from hearing God's word. Sometimes we might want to pause and evaluate some of our friendships. Some of our friendships need to be looked over, and we need to understand, what are those friendships based on? Is it one of our old friends from college, one of our old drinking buddies, one of our old whatever it may be? Is that friendship taking us the right direction? Are we friends with the right type of people? Will this friendship cause me to grow? Will this friendship cause me to backslide? Will this friendship allow me or prevent me from giving my all to God? Common belief and doctrine should be that glue that holds us together. In Ephesians 2, verses 20 to 22, all and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The local church is a building, but it's a building that's not just made up of bricks and wood and concrete and drywall, and it's made up of the people. As Granite State started in a rental building and moved here, it didn't matter where Granite State was. Granite State was the people in this building. It's about our love and our common love for the Lord. Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and the apostles' teaching is the foundation. That's what we should build our own lives on. Colossians 1:23 says, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I am Paul. I, Paul, am a minister. We must remain grounded in Christ. When we are fellowshipping with God's people, Christ is exalted and preeminent. Just like when pastor takes blessings, sometimes at the end of the church service, it's not because he's bored. It's not because he's trying to fill time. It's not because his sermon was too short and he has one less go early. It's because he wants us to take that time, share blessings, encourage each other, hear what other people are going through, see how God's worked in our lives to brighten something, or to see a family member that's been saved. Or it helps each one of us to give us each an encouragement to watch our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to see what's going on in their lives. Benefit number two, fellowship is sustained. Another characteristic of real fellowship is longevity. The world's up and down, come and go type of friendship tend to be based on things that are always changing. Politics, new trends, who posted what on, you know, which Facebook or Twitter or whatever it may be. Celebrity status, all things that are just temporal. But God's design for Christian fellowship is meant to be sustainable and encouraging. If our fellowship is based on something that never changes, then we know that it's going to be there in the long run. So there's the story of these three young boys. They're at a zoo messing around. Seemingly, they were up to no good. They made enough commotion that people started to take notice, and the zoo security was called over. The security officer asked each of the three boys the same question. What's your name, and what are you doing by the elephants? First boy said, my name is Larry, and I was just throwing peanuts to the elephants. Seems reasonable enough. The next boy had a similar answer. My name is Jared, and I was just throwing peanuts to the elephants. The third boy was flustered. He had a much harder time answering. He began to stutter. My name is Peter, but my friends call me Peanuts. You ever had a friend like that? Instead of helping you, they just tossed you around. Real fellowship between Christians must be different. So what sustains our fellowship? First, we are sustained through Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom he were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a Greek word that I don't know how to say, but I'm going to try. Koinonia. It means partnership or sharing. When we got saved, we became partners with Jesus and with all the other believers. That gives us both the privilege and responsibility to fellowship with one another. That's interesting. Privilege and responsibility. It means it needs to go both ways. Do you remember earlier that I shared as a new Christian, fellowship was really what tied me into church. It was a key part of my Christian life and just really part of my Christian growth. It had to go both ways. Real fellowship takes place in many ways. Prayer, singing, gathering, Bible studies, soul winning, serving together, helping a guy move. And that's why it's important that anytime the church doors are open, anytime there's an activity, anytime there's anything that you can get to it. The more we can be an encouragement, maybe encourage someone that needs encouragement, the more we will grow, the more they will grow. And pastor doesn't just do revival meetings and prayer meetings and guest speakers and outreaches because he's got nothing else to do. He knows that's for us. It's for him. It's for us. It is hearing another message. It's hearing another sermon, but it's also that time of fellowship, the men's fellowship dinner that was the other night. That was, wish I could have been here, but I'm sure you guys didn't show up, eat a steak, and walk out the door. I'm sure it was a time of fellowship, a time of hearing God's word, a time of being together. And I heard this prime rib. Man, what a weekend to leave. An author once said, there's a Christian failure to distinguish between socializing and fellowship. Although socializing is often both part of and the context of fellowship, it is possible to socialize without having fellowship. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It is because of Christ that we have fellowship. Churches that lose their center of fellowship around Christ fall into the danger of becoming more of a social club than a church. And that's so easy to just gather together and just to not make it about, you know, about Christ at all. Just let's just gather and chat and, you know, and do nothing else. But we have to make sure that it's centered around Christ. There's also another side to sustaining fellowship. We must forsake ungodly socializing. Ephesians 5:11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." A Christian whose closest friends and greatest interactions, like at work or school, you spend so much time with them. You're there 8-10 hours a day with at school or at work. With worldly or ungodly influences, will have less ability to have constant godly fellowship. And this can cause them to not appreciate it, not partake in it, or even lose your appetite for it. You may just be spending so much time at work, and we can't help that. We have to be at work, but that's why we have to have that balance and make sure that anytime there is something available for us to get to sort of refresh, or it's like a spiritual CPR almost, to get into a time of fellowship to be able to have that back, to get that appetite back. And that's why God forbids us really to make close relationships with the ungodly. He doesn't just think it's a bad idea. He actually forbids it. 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Be ye not equally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" Now, as Christians, we need to be sharing the gospel with everybody, lost, co-workers, neighbors, and that's what we're called to do, but we got to be careful about it, not about sharing the gospel, but about where we're spending that time. Our closest friends ought to be those who are like-minded and those that will encourage us with the Lord. We don't want to be closest friends with those who deny or reject God. We have to find that balance. We got to spend time with them so we can try to lead them to the Lord, but our main focus and our main time needs to be spent with those that are like-minded. One more story. Sorry, I told you I taught kids. So that's all I know. One more story. Peanuts cartoon. Everybody remember Peanuts, Charlie Brown, and all that? So this Peanuts cartoon shows Lucy in a bad mood. Seems like she always is. She says to Charlie Brown, "Charlie Brown, I hate everybody. I hate everybody in the whole world." Charlie Brown responded, "But I thought you had inner peace." Lucy snaps back and says, "I do have inner peace, but I still have outer obnoxiousness." There's certainly relationships and associations that most definitely will affect our inner peace. And those include people who are involved in the unfruitful works of darkness. In other words, be careful of scorners. Be careful of those that reject our Savior. They're just trying to tear us down, take us away from them. Secondly, we are staying through Christ's local body. The early church at Jerusalem exploded in size after Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Man, I can't even imagine. Just imagine what that was like. It was here that the new believers continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, which we see in verse 42. Charles Spurgeon once said, "Some Christians try to go to heaven alone in solitude, but believers are not compared to bears or lions or other animals that wander alone. Those who belong to Christ are sheep in this respect, that they love to get together. Sheep go in flocks, and so do God's people." Sounds a lot like fellowship. God designed us to live the Christian life in fellowship, to encourage and influence one another. Think about a predator that looks for that one lost, lonely sheep to go after. That sheep would be much safer if it was just staying with the other flock, with the other sheep in that flock. If you're not involved in your local church, if you're not involved in fellowship, you're putting yourself at risk. You're putting your walk with the Lord at risk. You're putting your marriage at risk. You're putting your family at risk, all because you're separated from the flock. They try to make it look so fun out there. You see the billboards. You see the billboards of people drinking their drinks, and they don't show the billboard of the car wreck. They don't show the billboard of the divorce. They don't show the billboard of all the outcomes afterwards. Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching." Christian fellowship is an invaluable asset to strengthen and sustain our faith. It provides accountability, provides encouragement, it provides challenging comfort, exhortation, It's God's command that every Christian is to actively engage in this type of fellowship. And benefit number three and last, friendship is strengthened. Every significant relationship in your life will either sharpen or dull you spiritually. Friendship is strengthened. First part of that is friendship is strengthened through honesty. True friendships are built on trust, and that comes through honesty. If you can't trust your friend, who can you trust? Ephesians 4:25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one of another. As members of the same church family, our relationships have the responsibility to be honest towards each other. Honest always. We must be careful to only speak the truth and be willing, this part's hard, be willing to do so even when the truth hurts. That's probably one of the hardest parts, is telling someone the truth even if they don't want to hear it. Real fellowship includes appropriate accountability and genuine concern for the spiritual condition of friends in the church. It's okay to call up a friend and say, hey, missed you at church today, or hey, you doing all right? Anything I can help you to do? If you notice someone's missing, you know they're supposed to be here, check on them. I know I've been on both sides of that phone call, both sides of that text where, you know, I don't think it was for any bad reason, but I know that I've had the call, hey, I didn't see you today. Well, you know, got the flu or whatever it was. But just knowing that someone noticed that I was gone meant a lot. Just that in a big group of people, one person like me, that someone noticed it, it really can go a long way. And really, you just don't know what that's going to mean to the person that you've called. It's going to help you. You're helping each other in that. You really are. Because that person, maybe they weren't sick with a cold. Maybe they just told you that, but really they're just backsliding that day. And your call is going to make the difference of them coming next week or whatever it may be. Now, you've all heard friends don't let friends blank. I don't know. Cheer for the Yankees. Whatever it may be. But as Christians, we need to watch each other's backs. 100%. If we see someone getting ready to make a bad choice, using wisdom, using love, and using grace, we need to try to help them through that. And that's where Christian fellowship comes in. You create a bond or a friendship with a person through past fellowship. Someone compared it to like a banking account. You can't just go up to a bank and make a withdrawal, right? First, you got to make the deposits. And the same with in a friendship, in a family member, in a child. You got to keep making those deposits through fellowship. You deposit enough, you put something into them, you put work into them, you put love into them. So when it's time to go help them or time to maybe correct them, you're doing it in love. You're doing it in grace. They know that you're doing it because you love them. Don't go try to do that to somebody that you don't know or that you don't have that relationship with, because it's not going to end well. You know, you can't just walk up to someone new in church, or me being relatively new here. I can't just walk up to someone and say, hey, here's what you're doing wrong. Or it's not going to have the same effect. It's probably going to make it worse, or it's going to make them to be bitter towards you even. And then you've just kind of ruined that relationship. Secondly, friendship is strengthened through dependability. Fellowship deepens through dependability. John 15:12-14. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Christ's standard is high. Love others as he loves us. That's pretty huge. I mean, the amount of love that Christ has for each one of us, you know, dying on the cross for us, that's for him to command us to love others in that same way. That's a great amount of love to be able to give somebody. It needs to be a steady love. Not a love that's based on how you're feeling that day, your mood, or if you're grumpy. It's just a consistent, steady love. Next, friendship is strengthened through encouragement. One of the blessings of fellowship is the godly encouragement it provides. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Being a part of a local church allows us to share fellowship that encourages us and lifts us. As we nurture these relationships, we both encourage others and receive encouragement. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And last, friendship is strengthened through acceptance. Some people have changed the meaning of acceptance to condone sin. While we should not support sinful lifestyles or behaviors, we must accept and love people, especially in the context of Christian fellowship. If someone hadn't loved you as a sinner before you got saved, where would you be today? Probably exactly where you were before someone knocked on that door and made that decision to come out and love you that night. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. The acceptance in real Christian fellowship encourages growth and sustains us through difficult times in our lives. Honesty, dependability, encouragement, and acceptance are all traits of real Christian fellowship. We must learn to use these traits in our own lives so we can offer the fellowship Christ intended. God created a desire in us, the need for friendships. With the local church, God has given us the gift of real fellowship. The challenge is for us to follow God's plan, allow it to strengthen us, and of course, others. Don't only be on the receiving end of Christian fellowship, but give it as well. Proverbs 18:24. Let me give this verse and then I'm finished. Proverbs 18:24. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm so glad for God's fellowship. What a special time it is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for this morning, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to teach this message, Lord. I hope that is to help to some, Lord. And I just pray that you would use it, Lord. I pray that you be with us for the rest of the morning, Lord. I pray that you be with pastors as he preaches today, Lord. I thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen.